Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. All right, very good. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John. And we are in chapter number 2. We're going to be starting in verse number 7 tonight. We started looking at this section last week. Evidences of how we know that we know Him. And so we're here in verse number 7 and reading down to verse number 11, where John says this: "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And we'll stop our reading there. I think we can all kind of relate, maybe laugh a little bit about this, this comic strip. I don't know if you can read that, but this is something that maybe we all can relate to at some point, where if you can't read it, it goes like this. Linus said, or Lucy says to Linus, "You're a doctor." Ha! Ah, that's a big laugh. Can you guys actually read that? Can anyone read that? Do I have to read it for you? That's a big laugh. "You could never be a doctor," she says. "You know why?" And on the bottom it says, "This is why. Because you don't love mankind. That's why." And maybe there's a little bit of all of us in Linus in his answer, where he answers this way: "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." So I love mankind in general, but I just can't stand the people. And there's a little bit of humor and maybe a little bit of truth in that. Ever feel that way? I love mankind. I just can't stand people. It's like pastors that often say, you know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. And they say that kind of jokingly, because we understand that ministry is people. And if there were no people, there would be no ministry. But sometimes we feel that way maybe when it comes to other believers. I love God's people except for blank, blank, blank. You can fill in the blanks. Don't say it out loud. I love most of God's people, but just not, you know, that person I can't stand, so-and-so, and they're whatever it might be. And we tend to think that way sometimes. And John, in his writing here in 1 John chapter 2, is continuing the thought that he started in verse number 3 that we looked at last week. And that is the test that we can apply to know that we truly know Jesus Christ. Does anybody remember what that test is? What is the test? Does anyone remember? All right, that we keep his commandments. Here's how you know that you know. If you keep his commandments, the one that says, "I keep his commandments," or the one that says, "I know him," and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar, right? The truth is not in him. If you know Christ, you will keep his commandments. That is a test of our relationship with Christ. They keep, the one that loves Christ keeps his commandments. It keeps his word, John says in verse number 5, the love of God is perfected. It is brought to maturity in him. He walks the way that Jesus walks. That's a proof that I am a believer. That's, someone says, "Listen, I know him," but doesn't do those things, he is a liar. And he can't know that he knows him. There's no assurance in that. And that's what John started with last week in verse 3. Well, John is going to continue that thought a little bit further in our passage here this evening. And he gives us another way that we can know that we know him. right? There's another evidence of faith in these verses. And it's very similar to what we find in the Gospel of John. And that is, we have love one for another. That is an evidence of my faith, that I will love other believers. Let me say it this way. Loving others is a true and it's essential mark of a true Christian. Loving others is an essential mark of a true Christian. How do I know that I love Christ, that I'm in Christ, that I'm walking in the light? I will love the people that God loves. I will have that same kind of love. John said it this way in the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you, the same way that Christ loved. That's the way that we ought to love one another. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know. This is an evidence of your faith, an evidence that you are in Christ. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we're going to look at that commandment. But just before we do that, we have to understand what John means by the word love. Because there's all sorts of ideas, especially in our society, about this word love. Let me ask you this. You can give me some feedback. How would you biblically define the word love? So the way that John uses it, how would you define love biblically? Any ideas? Yes, Stephanie? Okay, so it's a selfless, self-giving, sacrificial sort of love, okay? Yeah? Anyone else? Yep, Jake?
Love that actually serves or helps or does something.
Okay, so it's not just a feeling, yeah. It's an action. It's that love I have is selfless, sacrificial, but it actually does something. It love works, right? It goes out. Yes? Okay.
If you love somebody, you want to be with them, not do something else.
Sure. Yeah. So I love my wife, so I enjoy spending time with her. I like to be with her. That's I do. that's part of love. Sure. I like to be with those people that I'm showing love towards. So all of these are true. All of them. That's all found in this word love. Of course, the word that John uses for love, probably know already, the Greek word is the word agape, or agapon is what it's used here. And that's the idea of it. It's a selfless, sacrificial, sort of unconditional love. It's a love that really transcends our human emotions, and it's rooted in the will of God, the character of God. So in that sense, it's not just, like we said, it's not just a feeling, but it's an obedient action, right? So when God tells us to love, it's an act of obedience to do what he's called us to do. Now, culturally, in our society, if you mention the word love, people would often think of it this way, that love is being nice, right? That's how we might look at it culturally around us. A loving person is one who is nice and sweet and kind, and they never really confront anyone. They don't really say anything that would upset anyone or offend anyone. And that's what the culture around us sees as love. But by that means, was Jesus loving? I mean, by that definition, I would say he wouldn't have been, because Jesus often confronted the religious leaders and others of the day. Biblically, love is more than an emotion. It is a commitment to act in a selfless, sacrificial way for the good of others. All right, so John says, that's the commandment, that we are to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have this kind of love one toward another. So just a couple of things here quickly from this passage. First of all, loving one another is obedience to God's commandments. All right, so as we love one another in this way, that is obedience to the command of God. He says this, John says this in verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. So he says, I don't write a new commandment. You have the old commandment. But then in verse 8, he says again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Now, John doesn't mention the command in those two verses to love one another. But it's clear from the following verses that that's exactly what he's talking about, because he goes on to talk about hating our brother and loving our brother. So he reminds us that it's both an old commandment and a new commandment. Now that might be, when you read those verses, verse 7 and 8, might be a little confusing at first. There's a little play on words, right? He says, I'm not writing you a new commandment. In verse 7, it's an old commandment. But then in verse 8, he's saying, but actually I'm writing you a new commandment. So you're thinking, well, what is it? Is it an old commandment? Is it a new commandment? What is this commandment? And the answer is yes. It is both of those things. It is an old commandment and a new commandment. So, what was the old commandment? I heard a few words. Right, so I heard parts of all of that coming together. I think we're all going back to the same place. If we go back to the very beginning, the commandment was an old commandment. It was found in Leviticus 19, verse 17. I don't have it all written up there, but I'll just quote it for you. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That was the commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, I heard it as well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. That was the old commandment. From the very beginning, we were commanded, the commandment was given, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus himself identifies this as being the second greatest commandment. In Matthew 27 and verse number 37, he says this, Jesus said unto him, this is the one that asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus responded this way, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So in this sense, from the very beginning, this commandment had been with them. Some 1,400 years. It was an old commandment. You could, if you're still in 1 John, he says a couple times in verse 7, this which he had from the beginning. He says the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. So a couple of times he says you've had this commandment from the beginning. So he could be talking about, you know, that commandment in Leviticus to love your neighbor as yourself. You could also translate those words as meaning you've heard it from the very beginning of your Christian experience, right? From the very first time I came to you, you've heard it since you trusted Christ and knew Christ. You were taught it. It was foundational to your formation. It's not new to you in that sense. You have known this commandment either from the very beginning or from when you've been taught it. This is not a new commandment. It's not something new. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so that's how it's an old commandment. But then he says in verse 8, again, a new commandment write I unto you. So what does he mean by a new commandment? Well, I think there's a couple things. I think I have them up here. This commandment was new in the sense that now there was some new evidence. And it's new in the sense that now there was a new power behind it. So both of those things, we'll take them one at a time. First of all, the new evidence. The new evidence was that since this commandment had been given in the very beginning, Jesus Christ had come, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, rose again 3 days later. So not only did they have the commandment, but now they had a very real example of what this kind of love looked like in Christ. They saw the love that Jesus had and demonstrated. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated that love. He showed us a new evidence. They can look at Christ and they have a better evidence of it now than they had even in the Gospels or earlier. They had it demonstrated in the love of Christ. So there's now new evidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but also now there's a new power. What is the new power? Well, I suggest the new power is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus left them, and as he left, he sent the Comforter to indwell them, and that Spirit, which now dwells in us as believers, helps us to live out the commands of Scripture. There's a new power to be able to do that. It's not just me doing it on my own, in my own strength. I have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within me to help me obey this commandment. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we have the church that we are told to gather together and provoke each other into love and good works. So we have this new commandment. There's a new evidence and there's new power behind it. John says, this thing, this new commandment is true in him and in you. Now, it's true in him because Jesus is the greatest example of love in the world. He left the splendor of heaven, the relationship with his Father. He came to this sin-stained world not as the conquering king, but as a lowly servant. He was obedient unto the death of the cross at the hands of sinful men. And he did all of this to save sinners that deserved his wrath. So this commandment of love is absolutely true in him. It was evidenced. We see it. But also, John says, it's true in you. You say, well, how is that true? Well, it's true in us because we are now in him. Our relationship, we have because of our relationship with him. Paul describes us often as being in Christ. You look at Ephesians and read through it. And so many times he says, you are in him. You are in Christ. The glorious truth of the New Testament is that we are joint heirs with Christ and all of his riches. So how that works out is if we're lacking in love for a difficult person, we say, Lord, you know that I'm unable to love this person. I'm struggling to love this person. But I am in you. And you don't lack love for anyone, even for the unlovely. So love that person through me. That's central to practicing biblical love. So it's a commandment that we have been given. Love is obedience to this command. But notice also, secondly, that love is inseparable from the light. Verse 9, it says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, where is he? Is he in the light? He's in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. John continues this imagery that he started before of darkness and light. He says, listen, this is very basic, it's very foundational, but a person cannot walk in light and darkness at the same time. It's one or the other. If you hate your brother, you walk in darkness. If you love your brother, you walk in light. You can't do both. I understand that these verses are not saying that we need to be close to every other Christian or emotionally bonded to all believers. Love, like we said at the beginning, is a direction of my will towards the good of another. It's an obedient action. We are not commanded to feel a certain way towards people, but we are commanded to act a certain way towards them, in spite of what we feel. You know, the truth is this, there may be people that I may not see eye to eye with. There may be people that I might not even spend a whole lot of time with outside of these walls. And I'm not saying in this church specifically. I mean in like greater Christendom. There may be some that I just don't see eye to eye with or want to spend a lot of time with. But I've been commanded to love them regardless with how I feel about them. It's an act of obedience. When we understand it this way, when we act properly towards our Christian brothers and sisters out of a desire to be obedient to God, we love them. So what John is saying, there's just two really quick things. John is saying this, first of all, your profession of being in the light is exposed as false if you hate your brother. Now you might be saying this, well, hate is a pretty strong word. I don't really hate anybody. I mean, I may not love that difficult person, but I wouldn't say that I hate him. But John doesn't even let us go there. You either love the other person, which requires you to sacrifice yourself for their good, as Jesus did for us on the cross, or you hate him. God's love for us transforms us to these kind of relationships of love. And if we say that we are walking in the light, but we hate our brother, then our profession is false. It is not true. But also, notice he says, secondly, if you love your brother, you abide in the light, and you have no cause for stumbling. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I think to live in the light means you live your life open and exposed to God's word. You allow the word to shine into those dark recesses of your mind, exposing and rooting out what is evil. John says that loving your brother is inseparable from abiding in the light. If you walk in the light, you will love your brother. If you love your brother and abide in the light, there is no cause for stumbling in you. Now, that might mean a couple of things. It might mean that you do not cause others to stumble in their walk with God, because out of your love for them, you only do things that build them up and edify them and cause them to follow Christ. So it could mean that. Or it could mean this, that the one who walks in the light will not stumble himself because the light illumines his path. So in both senses, that light preserves you from sin. So the question then, as we bring this all together, is simply this. Do we love our brother? Do we love those people that God has called us to love? Do we have that kind of selfless, sacrificial love that is obedient and works itself out in the way that we live to those around us? Again, none of us love perfectly. But those who know Christ will be growing in a love for others, and they will try to love those that God has called us to. By the way, as we finish up, just remember this, that this kind of love for others is a commandment, not a feeling. It's something we've been commanded to do. And I think that should actually give us hope, because God's commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard. God's Spirit gives us the grace and the power and the ability to obey his commands, which are for our good. So biblical love is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one that is loved. You can obey that commandment to love others, as difficult as that may seem. As hard as that person is to love, God has given us the ability in him to love that person. We can do it. God commands us to do it. He gives us the ability to do it. So if you're thinking, as we finish, just I can't love him, or I can't love her, or that person is too difficult, I just don't like that difficult person, then what we need to do is get to work in obeying God's commandment to love him or her. It's not optional for the follower of Christ. It is essential. It is a commandment. We must do it. And we can do it with the empowering of the Spirit. And as we do that, like John said, that is an evidence to all the world around us that we are the disciples of Christ, when we have this kind of love one for another. So let's have that. Let's obey that commandment. Let's have that selfless, sacrificial attitude that works its way out in our brothers and sisters and love them the way that Christ does.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His Word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.